Ladies and gentlemen, friends, and open-minded people wherever you live, across the United States of America, Europe, and the world, and especially Great Britain today, because I have a very strong, intelligent, and dedicated British patriot and European patriot, truly. And maybe even I can go beyond that, because I know the man pretty well. I know his sentiments about things, and he's been against all these insane wars. He's certainly opposed to this insane war against Russia. Probably Russia is closer to the traditional ideas of Europe, the Christian values of Europe, the values of family, the values of morality, the values of Western Christian civilization. There's no question in my mind, and I would hope there's no question in your mind, despite the media attacks on Russia, that Russia today is not a communist country. We all know that. That's a fact. And Russia is not trying to take over the world. The Bolsheviks were trying to take over the world. The Internationale openly proclaimed that their goal was to take over the whole planet. They failed to do so. They really had a lot of power in the 19-teens, 20s, 30s. And into the 40s. They took over half of Europe, basically, under these oligarchs, under these Jewish Bolsheviks, shortly after the Second World War. But the ironic thing, the great irony of history is that the Jews who absolutely took over Russia, and when I say Jews, I'm talking about, it was a group effort. It was a Jewish effort. It wasn't just the Bolsheviks. And it wasn't just the Zionist Jews. And it wasn't just the atheist Jews, because communism was a self-proclaimed atheist organization and atheist movement that loved the words of Karl Marx when he said, you know, religion is the opiate of the people. It wasn't just atheist Jews. It was global Jewry. And one of the most shocking things I think that I wrote in my book, The Secret Behind Communism, was when I displayed the pages of the Jewish Encyclopedia, an organization or an encyclopedia put out by the leading Jewish organizations of the world. I mean, we're talking about religious organizations. We're talking about Jewish secular organizations. This was the book. This was the encyclopedia of the Jewish people. Their history was in it. They even analyzed all kinds of sections of the Talmud, which is the main body of work, and a lot of people get confused. They keep thinking about the Jews of the Old Testament, you know, or the Torah. The real core Jewish ideology is not simply in the Torah. It's really in the Talmud. That's where they let it all hang out, buddies. That's where they let it all out. And the interesting thing was that the Jewish Encyclopedia, by these major Jewish organizations, they're not shy. They say in this Encyclopedia of Jews, the leading Jewish organizations of the world, that guess what? That practically every Jewish synagogue in the world tried to support the Bolshevik revolutionaries in Russia. Almost every synagogue. They sent money. They sent clothes. They sent any sort of aid they could. And in fact, the Bolshevik movement was supported by a very Zionist racist Jew by the name of Jacob Schiff of the Colonel Loeb Company, one of the richest people in the United States of America, who spent millions of dollars. And that, millions of dollars in 1905, for instance, or 1915 or 1917 is a lot more than millions today. You're talking about like billions today, really, in true value. He gave money personally to Leon Trotsky, who in a great deceit, isn't it interesting how these Jews constantly are changing their names? Why would they do that? Why would Leon Trotsky change his name from Lev Bronstein? Maybe because that would be a big canary in the mine that communism was a Jewish-led movement. Well, I'm going to go from this subject now to my friend in Great Britain, a tireless activist, a good thinker, Paul Stevenson. I love when he comes on the show, and it's great to have him on, and I know that he believes in human rights for all people, And he is, of course, most surely focused on the preservation of his British comrades and the British people of his land, of whom I'm basically a person of British descent. I had 24 of the sureties, the sureters of the Magna Carta, one of the great instruments of British history, were direct ancestors of mine. I mean, traced through genealogy. An excellent genealogy. A genealogist decided that she wanted to trace my background as a, I guess, infamous person or famous person, whatever you want to call me. I'm infamous in the minds of the Jews. Hopefully, I'm more famous or positive in the minds of Europeans around the world or anybody that wants to go against the powers of Israel. And so I have direct ancestors from Great Britain. I'm proud of that. Duke is an old English name, by the way. It's also, I also have a lot of Scots in my ancestry. I've got some Irish in my ancestry. I guess Northern Europeans. I've got a lot of Vikings, and the Viking blood runs all through the British people. But you know what, folks? I do love my people, and I am totally dedicated. My entire life has been about being dedicated to saving my people. And as I've gained more knowledge over the years, I realized something. And that realization is the idea that just as I want to preserve my own people, that I want a government that represents my own people, defends my people, my very existence of my people, the freedom of my people, the traditions of my people, the language, the culture, the traditions, the faith of my people. Just as I believe and I want a government that does that. In fact, that's exactly what the Declaration of Independence was. People talk about white nationalism. These people that signed the Declaration of Independence, they all knew who they were. They used the word white in the Constitution they later formulated. They talked about the merciless savages and what the European people faced. They talked about their progeny, saving it, for instance, in the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. Then they knew they were white. Most of them were members of the American Colonization Society, which was an organization dedicated, interestingly enough, not to enslave blacks and bring more blacks to America or enslave or harm black people anymore, but was dedicated to freeing black people and returning them to their own continent and giving them a lot of support, monetary and other diplomatic support, in what was set up to free blacks. That's why it was called Liberia, actually, and to help them get started in a country where they were their own masters, that they didn't have to follow the orders or the leadership or be a minority in a white country where they could have their own country. That's not a racist thought, folks. That is the idea of the right of all people to preserve themselves. And over the years, I realized that the struggle of my people for their freedom is the same as the struggle of the Palestinian people, for that matter, who've been ethnically cleansed in their own country. It's the same struggle for any nationality. The Syrian people were invaded by Israel. There was no Jews living in the Golan Heights. And these tyrants came in and stole their land. This is an area about the size of Switzerland, or a good chunk of it, for sure. I mean, you can't make these things up. And these Jews globally have got us into all these wars costing millions of lives. And I wish it weren't true. I hate to be a person that looks back to the 20th century, which is only a few years past now. Boy, it shows how old I'm getting. But you look at the 20th century and you see the worst wars in the history of humanity. The First World War and Second World War. More people were killed in just the Second World War than all people in the history of humanity. If you combine both of those wars, and they were nothing but a fratricidal slaughter of Goyim, Gentiles, Christians against Christians. And it was in many ways orchestrated by people who weren't Christians, by people who weren't even Europeans, who had their own objectives from that war. One of the objectives of the First World War is to weaken the Tsar, because the Jews wanted to overthrow the Christian Tsar and the Christian people of Russia and put Jewish tyranny over them. That's reality under communism. That was the Second World War. The First World War was about weakening the Tsar by the Germans, because they knew that Germany had more militarism, that they would be able probably to defeat the Russians, and that would give the Tsar a black eye. The same way that Jacob Schiff, you can check this out, folks, it's no lie. It's absolutely a fact. He actually supported even the Japanese and the Russo-Japanese in our war. Why would he support the Japanese against the Russians? Why? Why? Because he hated the Tsar. He called the Tsar anti-Semitic. He called the Russians anti-Semitic people. There's been a war going on between Jews and Russians for 200 years, and it's going on right now in the Ukraine war by this Ukrainian, it's not even Ukrainian, it's a Jewish dictatorship over Ukraine. It's Zelensky. The premier of the country is Jewish. The defense chief, Reznikov, is going to be replaced. We'll see who replaces him. They completely control the media. Four of the five big gangsters that control the country. The whole laptop, Biden laptop scandal, where the president, the vice president of the United States, was part of a bribery scheme with the son, Hunter Biden. And guess who were the people doing the bribing? It was Jews. The Jews that ran Burisma, including Sikorsky, and then, of course, Kolomoisky. Kolomoisky stole $5 billion from the Ukrainian people. You wonder why the people in eastern Ukraine didn't want to secede or want to get out of that country when you had Jews running the country and trying to make war on them and discriminate against them? So even this war is a continuation of it by our Jewish State Department under Blinken. Don't forget, we've had a lot of Jews in the State Department. Right? Look at Henry Kissinger. He did a lot of good for us. He got us in the damn Vietnam War, helped it, and then helped destroy everything that came from that. And we can just talk about we can just keep going on. This is the real problem in the world that we can't talk about. So I'm going to bring on, and I want to introduce to you again, Paul Stevenson. Sorry it was a little longer today, but I wanted to give a little frame, a little preamble to everything today. And I know you're, as a Britisher, what are your feelings, Paul? I'll just start out with a question. I want to welcome you to the show. And I want to start out with a question for you. As a very loyal and dedicated person of British descent, what are your feelings about Great Britain continuing to try to arm and promote this insane war in Ukraine? That could have been solved by neutrality, that's all, by the country, that's killing hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians, that's killing many Russians, and by a regime that's controlling your country and controlling Europe that are causing people in your country, basically, there's actually people that are facing this starvation, they're facing dying of disease because they're so cold they can't afford to heat their houses, businesses are being destroyed, lives are being destroyed all across Europe, economic disaster. What is your feeling as a British, what they would used to say called British subject, what is your feeling of what is the level of your anger against your controlled government that's being dictated to by the Jewish controlled America and by the elements in your country and media and government finance that are leading your country into this insanity and is also causing so much death and destruction to this world that is something is a great, great crime against humanity. What's your level of disgust about what your government's doing? I'm not talking about the people of Britain. I'm just talking what is your level at this point? I mean, Ye was talking about DEFCON 3. He got all that wrong. He even said DEFCON. It's not DEFCON anyway. It's DEFCON. But that sounded like you're going to kill Jews. But it's DEFCON 3. And DEFCON 3 isn't even atomic war. It's like not even actual war. DEFCON 3 is like the middle range. DEFCON 1 is when you go to war. DEFCON 3. But for saying that, you know, he's been deplatformed. It really is amazing. Okay, Paul, so let me start with that question, but let me welcome you to the show. It's so great to talk to you again.
Good to be with you, David. Good to be with you. Just utter exasperation and disgust and to the max. As I said to you off air, I'm out of the country at the minute, and I'm very glad I am because, of course, Hail King Zelensky arrived in the UK yesterday as part of his European tour to drum up support for more weapons, fighter jets this time.
Did he do it physically or did he do it by remote?
No, he arrived. It was an unannounced you know, flight, an unannounced visit. He flew into Stansted Airport, and he addressed again to a raucous, you know, United Parliament, or one of the Parliament buildings anyway, which it's utterly disgusting. He addressed, you know, to again, you know, applause and standing ovations and everyone fawning over him. And all the front news of the press today was about how we should unequivocally give Zelensky what he wants. There is no debate. There is no one talking about, can we have a conversation about this? Does anyone thought about the implications of this? No, all by to Zelensky. And, you know, it's disgusting. I was so glad I'm out of the country, because I feel dirty, and it's a horrible thing to say. And like that, you said,
terrible. Yeah.
It's not the British people, because as usual, the real British people, even the people who are remotely take the time to remotely inform themselves, want no part of this gangster regime, and of which he is just a small little part. But I mean, to listen to some of the talking heads describing him as charismatic and a great orator. Excuse me, this guy's got zero charisma, and his oratory skills are terrible. Maybe I'm biased because of the lies and the filth that he's pumping out, and I'm aware of just how much blood this absolute scumbag reprobate has in his hands, and yet he's hailed. He's hailed in unison by the Labour and the Conservatives, everyone fawning over this guy. I mean, you can tell my disgust. I'm glad I'm out of the country, you know, so because it's just the place is just it's fallen so far, you know. And it for a century.
But you got to go home, and soon you'll probably be back home. And
yeah,
and,
well,
and then when you see the level of people. Stupidity and ignorance is the only way you can describe it. There's two levels. Yeah. There's three levels in terms of I would consider the elite of the government, of both your country and my country. One is simply people have been bribed. So in politics, they know. And you know, this is where Omar, you know, Omar was right about the Benjamin's baby. It's the money, you know. It's the money that controls things. And it's the influence, and it's the media, because the media goes against you. You can't even have a YouTube channel. If you're a corporation or you're an individual that criticizes this war, they'll just ban your channel, even if you don't even talk about the war on your channel, right? And so if you have a YouTube channel, it's important for your business, and that's how a lot of people promote their business. If you have a Facebook, which is really important for your business, if you're running for office, running for a office in Great Britain or any office, and they allow the other candidates to attack you unmercifully and tell lies about you on Twitter, but they don't even give you the chance to even respond to them on Twitter or on Facebook or on Google. And if they channel everybody to your opponent's websites and to your opponent's story and make up lies even tailored to you, for instance, say you're opposed to abortion and you got a candidate in the race that's has supported abortion before, but you like them better than the other candidate. Both candidates support abortion. They will try to make propaganda, and they can do it easily with AI. They easily do it. They just make these scripts and then give them to people they identify, say, are anti-abortion. And they'll say, oh, this guy, you know, his wife had an abortion, or, you know, he had made his girlfriend have an abortion, whatever, this kind of thing. In order to, and then direct it to those people opposed to abortion as a way to reflect votes, or make them so disgusted with the candidate that they support on the immigration issue, the candidate they would support really, but because they're myopic in a way, they're concentrated or focused on one issue, they're able to. This is mind control on a massive, massive level. So one problem of it is bribery, where to get the money, to be able to even make any message to the public, you got to go along on certain issues. You can't ever talk about the basic issues, like the fact that Israel is a racist state. It is Jewish supremacy, and it's Jewish supremacy in so many areas of life and so many areas of media, from Jewy Wood, you know, Hollywood, from, you know, the biggest media corporations on earth, which includes global corporations like, which Google is part of, YouTube's a part of, Twitter is a part of, all these organizations are part of, but they're affected.
I think you mentioned Colin Muskie there, didn't you?
Colin Muskie stole $5 billion from the Ukrainian people. $5 billion in the poorest country of Europe.
I believe he's responsible for putting Zelensky in there.
Zelensky as a actor into a part playing Man of the People or something like that, presenting him as a selfless patriot of Ukraine. And it wasn't just a movie that people would enjoy or something with Zelensky as the hero and the honest, wonderful guy. No, this was like a series. So it was on every week across the country. People got brainwashed with this, right? And this guy, he's a Jew, and Jews are 1/5 of 1% of the population in Ukraine. But guess what? They're 4/5 the gangsters. They're 4 out of 5 the gangsters of the country that really run the economy of the country. They're 100% of the biggest media in the country, of which Kolomoisky is one of those media moguls. And I can name other Jews as well. And again, things like YouTube. YouTube, for instance, and we can keep going, Twitter and all these international organizations, which were one time controlled by our Jewish-controlled government of America, they were flaming the fire against Russia in Ukraine for years. And they were flaming hatred and vicious ethnic hatred against people of Russian descent, or even people of non-Russian descent that spoke the Russian language, even though Ukrainian is actually a dialect of the Russian language. And even though the Ukrainians have the same mythos and the idealism that Russians have. The whole symbol of Ukraine is a Cossack symbol. And the Cossacks are the mythos of Ukraine. And Ukraine celebrate the Kievan Rus. That's Kievan Rus. That's Kievan Rusya. That's Kievan Russians, right? And this, the Slavic people of Ukraine, both East and West Ukraine, whether they're more recent people from Russia as Russians, whether they speak Russian or whether they speak the Ukrainian dialect of Russian, if you look at their DNA, you can't distinguish them. You can't actually even distinguish their DNA. They're the same people. But here are these Jews drumming up this war of hate, and it wasn't the people of Eastern Ukraine that were trying to take over Ukraine. It was the Jews trying to inspire the people of Western Ukraine to hate the Russian people of Eastern Ukraine, the Russian speakers of the country, discriminating against them. And ultimately, those people said, we're not going to be a part of these Jewish regimes, these gangsters. We're the most corrupt country in Europe. We're not going to allow, in the world even, we're not going to allow that anymore. We want independence, and we're going to vote to be independent. And the Russians didn't come in at that time. Maybe they should have early, because they had thousands and thousands of Eastern Ukrainians murdered by these Jews. And that didn't start with Zelensky, just continued to a story. And then the lies of the Jews is always this way. Zelensky is going to bring us peace. Vote for Zelensky. Of course, yeah. By that time, the Eastern Ukrainians didn't have a vote. So he won overwhelmingly because he just had one half of the country, which the Jews controlled completely in money, corruption, and everything else they did. And he got to be the... And the Foreign Policy magazine, for instance, had a big article saying, isn't it funny, man, this anti-Semitic country. And by the way, it's a country where 11 million Ukrainians were killed by Jewish Bolsheviks. And it wasn't Jewish Bolsheviks, just Kaganovich, who was the deputy premier of Russia. Pardon me for making that misstep speaking. But Kaganovich was the guy that ran the Holodomor, the mass starvation. I mean, starvation of millions and millions of Ukrainians, of which 11 million died. I think the number is even greater. I was, as you know, I got my doctorate in Ukraine. I lived in Ukraine. I studied Ukraine. I met many Ukrainians that suffered even during this time, very old people that, you know, just... you know, hanging on to life by threads, and their children, and the stories that I would hear is unbelievable. Mothers couldn't even get enough milk from their breasts to feed their children. and they were starving, and their parents were starving and dying of disease related to starvation. And these were from farmers that had massive crops. They had, you know, animals. They had chickens. They had beef. They had sheep. They had goats. They had everything, right? And they were prosperous. It was the breadbasket of Europe. But the Soviet Jews and the Jews of Ukraine, who ran the Communist Party in Ukraine, starved to death the rural Ukrainian Christian farmers, the non-Jewish farmers and ranchers and so forth of the country. All the people starved, except for the Jews. The only place they got food was in some of the cities. And in fact, there was even diplomats of different countries of Europe at the time that wrote back to their own embassies, which we have the documents for it, that said that, you know, one thing that's going on here is the Jews of the country, they're not starving. No, they ran this murder. Yet they got people to hate Russians because of it. But the Russians were under the same Jewish communism that the Ukrainians were under. And much of the world was under. 100 million people died under communism, which was a Jewish creation. They even spread it to China. And they have some responsibility for the mass murder in China under the communist ideology, which didn't allow human rights and human freedom and so forth. Communism was a Jewish instrument of power. It was nothing more than a con. You understand that, folks? Communism was a con. And the neocons that run our country, right, the so-called neoconservatives, guess what they were in origin? They were communists, radical communists. The whole neoconservative movement of the Republican Party and many Democrats was started by Leo Strauss, a communist Jew, a Trotskyite communist Jew. Trotsky was the chief head of the Red Army. He slaughtered millions and millions of Christians during the Russian Civil War between the White Russians, which is a pretty good name for it, you know, and the Reds. And the Reds were run by the Jews. This guy killed millions and millions of people. So here's Strauss. Here's people like Podoritz, which did Commentary Magazine. We got people like Crystal, which ultimately ran the Weekly Standard and Daily Standard. Here's all these Jews who ultimately ran the New Orleans World Report, which we read. I didn't even know it was a Jew doing it. He was a so-called conservative. And when they realized that Russia, and this started really in the late 40s, and that's why they tried to kill Stalin with the doctor's plot, which is a Jewish plot. And this started in the 1940s after the war, and during the war even, because Russians wanted to bring Russian nationalists, because the only way they could win the war. People were not going to fight and die and make the sacrifices for communism, which half the country hated anyway. In fact, some people saw the German army coming in as liberators, actually, during the war. But
a lot of them.
Yeah, many of them. And the Ukrainians certainly did. No question about it.
Yeah, of course. There's absolutely no question about it at all. And why wouldn't they? Because the communists came in, they took their land, they starved them, and weren't starved to death. They just literally put a bullet in the back of their head. And the Wehrmacht came in and they liberated them, and they gave them their property back, and they fed them, and there was order there. And, you know, so...
Until the war turned, and the reason the war turned is because the Jews of the world mobilized much of the world, the British Empire, the United States of America, Canada, of course, was part of the kind of British Commonwealth, and then on and on around the world, using all their economic power, all their economic threats, all their blackmail, all their propaganda to demonize the Russians at the same time. And again, this goes back to the basics, right, Paul? This is something that I'm asking people. I know you all, every person in the Western world that hears my words, or anywhere in America, or anywhere in the world even, what you get in the Jewish media is the Nazis were the evil people. They were mass murderers and all the rest of it. Well, when the war broke out, the Jewish Bolsheviks had already slaughtered at least 30 to 40 million Russians, Ukrainians, the Holodomor was in the 30s, right? Latvians, Estonians. I mean, we can just keep going on and on about all this stuff.
And who propped up as the most evil man in the world today? I mean, the parallels are overwhelming, and it's ironic. Because the new modern version of the hate figure is, of course, Vladimir Putin. And in this in the UK, the hatred of Vladimir Putin, I was listening to some ex-UK defense guy on today, and he would think, I would take the time to at least educate themselves. All this stuff is in the public domain, the history of that conflict. Putin, like a broken record, you know, for years talking about NATO expansion. And he referred to today, I was listening to like on a talk radio, this guy referred to Putin as a menace. And, you know, you're pulling your hair out, you're thinking he's a menace. And he cited the invasion of the annexation of Crimea, which was always Russia. Let's stop the nonsense. It's never really Ukrainian. And then he cited Georgia as well in 2008, when Russia smacked them down because they got off of it. They were starting to talk about joining NATO as well. And he cited this Ukrainian invasion. So he said, we've had enough of this guy. This guy's an absolute menace. Vladimir Putin, yeah. You know? Right. They don't know any history. And who's the menace? Who is the menace? Who's really pulling the strings here? Who's about to sort of putting us on the brink of a world war? And who invaded Iraq? Who invaded Syria? Who invaded Yemen? You know, who invaded Afghanistan? Who's the menace here? I mean, it was just an offense to me to listen to this, because I'm sure Putin's not perfect. But I hold this perfect guy. Yeah. He got rid of the oligarchs out of there.
He's also very political. He's a politician. And that kind of leads him into some troubles. Like, he thought he could negotiate and into this war by just showing force, by the way, and killing very few people. But when you go against these Jews like America, they have shock and awe, man. They want to kill all of you. They'll do anything. They'll do false flag operations. They'll say the Syrians are gassing their people so they can tell us to support Saudi Arabia and support ISIS, the same ISIS and the same Al Qaeda that did 9/11. That's exactly what happened in Syria. We had our government was taking our tax money and sending it to Al Qaeda. And even Biden admits this in a speech he made at the, you can't make this up, but the reason you don't know about this is because of the Jewish power in the media. So you're so right, man. And it's just ironic. And it's more than ironic. It's just so tragic. It makes you want to cry sometimes when you think about these oceans of blood that have been shed. And like the Second World War, I'm sorry to bring up the Second World War. I know my father was a very, you know, loyal, dedicated soldier. He became a full colonel in the army in his career. He actually brought the orders to Eisenhower to go to Europe and for the to get ready for the invasion in Normandy. He actually brought the letters to them. He was a courier as a young officer. I think he was a young captain or major. And so he had to go find out, you know, Eisenhower maneuvers in Louisiana, believe it or not. And he actually, he remembers this as one of the, you know, very interesting classic times of his life. He brought Eisenhower the orders to go to Europe. And later in his life, my father, and I helped him make this realization, and I had to tread on very tender ground here, because obviously he's a patriotic American and he wanted to believe it, that this was a battle for freedom and a battle that was an existential battle for us. But the Germans were not trying to conquer the world. But the communists invaded Poland at the same time. But your country and France, right, major countries of Europe, and the Jewish controllers of the world, the powers, even the United States of America, behind the scenes, Roosevelt, we have the letters. Roosevelt was sending letters to the Polish prime minister saying that Poland should not make a peace treaty and negotiate. I mean, these were German lands, 100%, 95% Jewish populated, Danzig, for instance, which was taken from Germany. They were holding the German people against their will away from their country, which was a German-speaking city. It was the German culture, German schools, German values. And they're being captured by another country against their will. And for how many years? From 1918 to like 1939, they were not allowed to control their own lives. They were not allowed to live under a true democracy in their own nation and united with their fellow relatives and members there, and they also divided the country with the Polish corridor. Now, I realize Poles have arguments about this, historical arguments about these lands, Silesia and Polish corridor, and I'm sympathetic for that. But this was not a war where the Germans are really the bad guys. The bad people were the Jews that made this Versailles Treaty, because Germany wasn't really even responsible for the First World War, which almost all historians understand now and agree with. This was an entangling alliances thing. And I believe that the war actually was really egged on by these Jews who knew that if there was a war, and the way it lined up with Germany against Russia, that the good chance, the really important chance was that Russia would be defeated by Germany, and that would be exactly what the Jewish Bolsheviks would need to take over the country. And that's exactly what happened. The same way that Jacob Schiff gave millions to the Communist Party in the 1900s, and also the same reason that he supported the Japanese to defeat. And, but again, how you can't make this. Now this is all facts, folks. So I'm just asking you to take these facts, check them out. Read. You could even go to Wikipedia, even though that's going to get a bias section, but just go to the facts. And the fact is, there was no war declared against the Soviet Union, even though Soviets invaded approximately the same time as the Germans, took over half of Poland, and they killed 15,000 Polish officers, which the Germans didn't do, by the way. The Germans didn't take all the Polish officers they captured and go cut their throats and put billets in the back of their heads. 15,000, maybe 22,000, according to later scientific studies and historical studies, forensic studies. I mean, they didn't do that. In fact, they captured the Poles for a few months. And you know what they did? They got them to join with the Poles and the government, which was kind of, well, against the Soviets, because they saw the Soviets as a bigger threat. They knew about the Polish massacre at Caton Forest. And they let them go home. They freed them. They let them go back home. You know, we never did that to the Germans after the war. No, we massacred them. We put them in open camps with tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of Germans in the open air in Germany in the winter. I'm telling you, that's how you kill people with disease. We didn't feed them enough food. We left them in the mud with no covering over their heads. I mean, you can't make this up. We killed a million Germans, at least a million, even after the whole war was over, while we had warehouses full of food, while we purposely starved them. We also starved the German population for a long time, right after the war, with a calorie count less than alleged Auschwitz. I have historical knowledge. I can prove these things. But the simplest thing to prove is that Russia took over half Poland. Russia killed 15 to 22,000, whatever figure you use, minimum 15,000. Polish army officers rounded up and murdered them. Germany didn't do it, right? And why didn't France, and why didn't your country, the UK, Great Britain then it was called, why didn't they declare war on the Bolshevik regime that has been involved in world communism, which the British government's been writing about for freaking 100 years, about how they're trying to control the world? And if they got into a war with Rome, they couldn't believe that these communists were going to free Europe if, in fact, they defeated the Nazis. So you weren't just going to have the Germans and Poland, and Hitler wanted to negotiate. You weren't just going to have the Germans and just Poland. You're going to have a communist regime, of a regime that already killed 30 million Christians, for God's sakes. Now, any of you that can prove me wrong that Russia, under Bolshevism, really is the Soviet Union, these Jews, including their propaganda chief was a Jew, Ilya Ehrenberg, that said, murder the Christian women of Germany, the children of Germany, rape them, rip the babies out of their bellies. You know, I mean, unbelievable stuff, right? Evil, hatred. Talk about a war criminal, Ilya Ehrenberg, who, by the way, left his papers to Israel, not to Russia, which shows you're always the real loyalty of Jews in every country, where they're communists. And that's one reason why these Russians understood very quickly, when they got a little more power, and they gained a lot of power during the war. And after that, they realized these Jews, they actually outlawed Zionist advocacy in Russia. They made Zionism a criminal offense in Russia. I'll show you the Jewish papers showing Russia did this. That's why we had the Cold War that accelerated. And when they took over Russia again with the Jewish oligarchs, at that moment, we had kind of a peaceful thing. They thought Putin was going to play ball with them, but he didn't. He went against the head of the Jewish Congress in Russia, Gazinsky, who's also a media mogul, and he stripped him of the power over the media of Russia. He went against Khodorkovsky. He went against the most powerful, probably, oligarch in Russia, right? Who actually was also a media mogul, Berezovsky. He was a man that even when he left Russia under criminal indictment, he actually, with his billions of dollars, was supporting the Muslim terrorists in Chechnya that killed 400 or so school children and teachers and everything. This is the government of this country supporting this crap. This is the government of America supporting the Saudi Arabians to put ISIS into a decent country of Syria. I've been there. I know what Syria is. I dressed 50,000 Syrians. It was a decent country with a decent leader who allowed complete freedom for Christians, freedom for Muslims, freedom for any religion or no religion in their country. They had Christians in their cabinet. You can't say that about Saudi Arabia, right? And you know the other country that had a lot of Christians and freedom for Christians that we went to war against in the Middle East? I think you know this. It's Iraq. And when we invaded Iraq for lies produced by these Jews who control our State Department and control our New York Times and control our Washington Post and control ABC, NBC, CBS and control our diplomats and have subverted our government. When we went to war against Iraq, guess what happened to those Christians? They were killed by the thousands. They were driven out of their country. And you know what I think, folks? And you know what I think, Paul? I think the Jews were laughing. I think they were laughing because they've always hated Christians. Just go to your library and just dig into the books in the stacks of your libraries about the anti-Christian books and the books that claim Christianity was so anti-Semitic. Just read the article that I shared with you a few weeks ago called "Is the New Testament Anti-Semitic?" And that's from the Jerusalem Post just a few weeks ago. And the answer from this major rabbi was that, well, yeah, it's very anti-Semitic. 450 vicious, hateful things against Jews. They hate Christianity. They hate Christians. They hate the history of Christianity. They hate Jesus Christ. And they also hate the European people because they base even the name Gentiles off the Romans from the Roman gens who they use for Gentile. I mean, you can't make this stuff up for you. And they hated the Greeks, too. The Greeks and the Romans were... Yeah, go ahead.
Our history is inextricably linked with Christianity. So, you know, they hate Christians. And, of course, in fact, there was someone, probably a Jew, Tucker Carlson covered the story. There was someone in the United States government. I don't know exactly who it was. I wish I had kept it. But this guy came out and basically said that the rise of the Orthodox Church in Russia is intolerable. And so, you know, this guy was just saying it how it is, because that is a big part of it. The rise of the Orthodox Church to them is intolerable. And, you know, because it begs the question when you say that, intolerable to whom? You know, I mean,
he's been jailing Orthodox priests. He's been destroying Orthodox churches. This is unbelievable. He's outlawing it, basically, which is... I think it's probably the biggest single religion. It's a close battle between Orthodox and Catholics, but I think Orthodox actually has a numerical advantage. But it's not because the Russian Orthodox Church has the name Russian in it, you know, and has many relatives and friends, and the church itself had roots in Russia, but was also part of Ukraine, because that was all part of Ukraine too. The Russian Orthodox Church was just as much Ukrainian. The Kievan Rus, which converted to Christianity, right? And they became the Orthodox Christians of both Ukraine and Russia. But the real reason they went against the Orthodox Church, because they have ties with Russia. Because the Russian Orthodox Church is the church that Jews consider the most dangerous and hated Christian church in the world, because it's the only church that talks about the Jewish mass murder of Christians in the in what was the Soviet Union. It's the only church that defends, you know, the Russian people, which, by the way, includes really the Ukrainian people, which are the Kievan Rus. It takes Jews to drive a wedge and make Western Ukrainians who speak a little bit different dialect or whatever to hate Russians and to hate Russian Orthodox if they're a Catholic. Instead of a Catholic Ukrainian in the West and a Russian Orthodox both believing in Jesus Christ and supporting Christianity, instead of them being like brothers and friends and not trying to kill each other, right? Instead, they get them to support Jewish globo homo, right? Jewish global tyranny over all of us, which is going to basically destroy Ukraine. We've even had in these last regimes. Now, until the Maidan Revolution, which was a regime changed by Newland and John Kerry, real name, family name, Cohen, Jew, he was Jew, and all these other Jews, and Jewish media and so forth. And when they did this, guess what happened? Well, what do you expect to happen? They did two things which were incredibly horrible, right? They started driving the wedge, and they demonized the Russian speakers and tried to suppress their language. They even have been taking down famous Russian writers like Dostoevsky. We can keep going. There's so many. You've seen in...
even if you don't know any of this sort of stuff, right? What amazes me is a very recent... it was exposed that there was a huge amount of corruption in the Zelensky's government. Okay, they came out, and it was spun by the Western media as an opportunity for Zelensky, who of course is insane, to clean up, to keep working on cleaning up the corruption within the Zelensky government. But this was out in the open, including rations that were sent out there for the soldiers, including some of his crooks around him in the government, making huge amounts of money off that by inflating the prices of the food rations. There was money going all over the place. This is money that we sent out there in good faith. It was covered by Western mainstream media because I suppose it was getting out and they had to address it. And this is in the public domain. You don't need to know Paula DeMore. You don't need to know anything about Jews. You can look at this and thinking we're sending our money and our aid and our weapons
to kill Ukrainians and Russians. That's what we're doing. Every day this war goes on, it kills more thousands and thousands of Ukrainians, destroys Ukrainian infrastructure, destroys Ukrainian schools. It's being fought there, destroys everything. It's just unbelievable. This is a war not simply against Russia. This is a Jewish war against both the Ukrainians, the Russians, and even people in your country of Great Britain and all across Europe with the sanctions. What do you think? Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. But the point is, even if you don't know any of the sort of stuff we're talking about, which most people don't, and a lot of them are willfully ignorant, of course, but, you can look at that corruption, and surely that should raise eyebrows. But still, no, the red carpet rolled out for Zelensky, the media and the press, and then we should send them the weapons. Does this not make anyone put the brakes on? Is there no decency? Is there no morality? Do you think, okay, maybe this guy's not the saint we think he is. His government has been, ruling over a bunch of crooks, basically, and has been presiding over a massive corruption, not historically, but recently, with the money that the Americans and the Europeans and the British have been sending in good faith. This has just been irrelevant. This guy, doesn't matter what he does, he's Mother Teresa.
Yeah, I'd like to close the Ukraine thing because I want to take the last couple of minutes to also talk about a new thing about Joe Rogan, who was responding to the Ilhan Omar thing we got. She got thrown off the Foreign Relations Committee. And by the way, it's just a good example of the misdirection. She didn't get thrown off because she was a woman or because she was a minority or because even she had Muslim background. She got thrown off the committee because she dared to talk about Jewish bribery that controls our Congress of the United States and that controls our political process and also that controls the media in a real way. So anyway, I'm going to close the Ukraine thing by saying one last thing for people to repeat this. And I repeat things a lot here in this show because I want to absolutely drill it into your bones, folks, into your brains. this war was not an unprovoked war. That's a big, giant lie. This was a war that was started not by the people of Western Ukraine. They didn't try to take over the government. They didn't try to put the people in the western part of Ukraine under their rule. They simply said they wanted to be independent. And when that happened, the Jews, under the orders of the Jewish State Department of the United States, the Jewish intelligence agencies of the United States of America, which have been controlled for years, the neo-Gonza gave us all these wars, they started bombing with artillery like hell the populations of eastern Ukraine to terrorize them and to get them to back down. And they just killed them by the thousands. Look it up, folks, in the dictionary. 13,000. This was not fought in western Ukraine. This was all eastern Ukrainians, what they call Russian speakers, but also many other non-Russian speakers who also live there and have homes there and wives there and children there and so forth. And they killed thousands and thousands of people because they didn't want to be ruled by a bunch of Jewish gangster criminals, right? And they didn't want to be ruled by an EU that wanted to ship in millions of non-Ukrainians, non-white people, not even European people, to take over their country like you see European nations go to the point where Europeans will be a minority in Europe. It's crazy. That's the reality of it. Mass murder, that's what happened. And eventually, Putin went to aid those people and to also protect himself because he didn't want nuclear-tipped missiles within a few short minutes of Moscow and his country. So I want to go to one last story real very, very quickly. So Joe Rogan, you know, this is a story I thought of, Rogan, this is a story I was not going to get into until he brought it up again. So he brought up the Ilhan Omar situation where she kicked off the committee. And he made a statement. This is a crazy, great statement. He said, Italians really love pizza. He said, but Jews, they really love money, right? And here's Joe Rogan. He says, saying the idea that Jewish people are not into money is ridiculous. It's like saying Italians aren't into pizza. Would make sense if Jews invented money or if Italians have been massacred because of a conspiracy that they control the world through pizza. Well, obviously, folks, you can't control the world through pizza, but you can sure the hell control the world through money. 18 of the biggest contributors of Hillary Clinton were Jews. 9 of the 11 biggest contributors in the elections, which caused the Republicans not to take back the Senate and to take even bigger the House, were Jews. All right? I mean, we could go on this. The ABC, NBC, CBS, the New York Times, which endorsed Joe Biden, but then said the laptop was fake Russian propaganda, right? Then they were the ones that did disinformation. It wasn't Russian disinformation, it was Jewish information. But you can say Russian because Jews control the media. But you can't say Jews are Jewish. You can't say that. And one thing Rogan did a while back was he talked about the fact that the Epstein ring was a Mossad spy ring. I'm out of time. Please support Paul Stevenson and also support us at Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. Thank you, folks. And thank you, Paul, very much. I always appreciate your added commentary to my program. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.